Welcome to Motherhood and Career Collide. Hey, I'm Kimberly.
And I'm Ashley. We are two working moms on opposite coasts with experience in both corporate America and healthcare.
Now on a mission to redefine how career and motherhood collide. Between the two of us, we have six kids, ages six and under.
Coming to you from in the trenches of modern motherhood.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to today's show. I'm Kimberly, and I'm here with Ashley. And come join us today for a little coffee chat. So the format's a little different today. We always talk about, wow, we should record what we're talking about before the show, and we never do. So today is like a little glimpse into our before the show. And what happens is we have like these great conversations. We're like, oh my gosh, we should have recorded that entire thing. So here we go.
It's nice. I like it though. It's so conversational. And I think it's like really vulnerable and a little rawer than our standard, you know, like outlined format.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's true. And you know, I love a good outline. I feel safe in that little structure, but that's okay. That's okay.
I literally said to you, okay, so we're just jumping right in, no outline. And you're like, yeah, let's do it. I think I'm by the seat of your pants today, Kimberly.
Yeah, I think that's because I'm running out of time. Like time is a thief for me right now. And so it's sort of like, okay, let's just do this. I don't even have time to think about it.
It works out better that way sometimes. I think we've been doing this long enough now that it's like kind of, it's nice. You know, we know our cadences, so it's not like we're winging it. It's like, you know, just a different look into how we communicate with one another.
Yeah.
Outside of the outline, outside
of the coloring lines. Yeah. So I just wanted to share that life is crazy right now, and it feels like a water hose coming at me, and it's not stopping.
We literally have an episode called Drinking from a Fire Hose.
Yeah.
I feel like this is not your first go at this feeling in the past few months. Spring break was the last time, right?
Was it spring break? I don't remember.
I think so. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, once a month, I feel this. But I think what it is like, there's so much coming at me at once. And I know I'm not alone in this. So our school year for the kiddos ends in just less than a month now. Mm-hmm. June 9th's our last day. And what's crazy is like, I love the fact that we can all be super connected now, because I feel like, you know, if you need something, you need help, on a school perspective with the kiddos, like there's someone that'll jump in because we have access to a WhatsApp. It's great. But I have so many WhatsApp groups now. It's not just school. Like, it's just like a lot of different, like almost everyone uses WhatsApp, I feel like now. And oh my goodness, I am overwhelmed by, like, it's like another form of email for me now. It's like, if you miss a day, it's like, you know, it says you have 100 messages, and it's, you know, in one group, and then another one will say 50, and then another one will be like nothing. And it's like, oh, what's going on? Why has no one said anything? Did I miss something that should have been said? And I did the healthy thing about turning off the notification. So I have to choose to go in there, which I do on a daily basis. But that, along with end of school year coming and the ABC calendar and the school events, which are all like amazing. Like, I remember being a kid and it's so fun to have all these things going on. I totally understand why it's there. It's just, as a parent of three children, it does sort of hit you hard, and trying to remember all the different things mm-hmm. as well as like the normal things that have to get done. So like yeah. it's on top of that.
Yeah.
And then I feel like on a career perspective, it's just a lot of things are hitting the end of this month, mid-month, end of month. And I just want to do it well. You know what I mean? Like, and there's that feeling of like one pulls you one direction. I always talk about this, right? I talk about this idea of like work-life integration means that some days you're going to have to be pulled to work all day and you're not going to be able to do the same things that you would do as a parent. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that takes precedent. And then another day it could be different. And I think right now it just feels like all of it is taking precedent. So it's just been a little bit of talking myself off a ledge every single day and going, okay, you can do this, prioritize, and don't forget to take care of yourself. Those are the two things that I try to keep under my belt. But I will say one thing that is sort of falling is my ability to keep up with like all the scheduling stuff. Yep. It's like, oh, I missed that. I didn't know like that was going on. I'd love to donate to that. I didn't know about that. Or, oh, mm-hmm. that's right. There is that birthday party. And I had told the kids they're going to it and I completely forgot and said, oh, we're available that time. And now I have to like tell someone that it's just.
Yep. Yeah. It's a lot.
So that's.
I'm speechless for you.
Yeah. That's how I feel right now. And then if you haven't checked out our summer camp episode from last year, it's definitely something to go look at. But we this year planned for the summer a little different because we were waiting to hear about one of the things that the kids were wanting to do, but you have to test into. And so we were waiting to figure out like what that schedule is going to be and if we're going to make it in. And so when we found out we were, which just happened, now it's sort of like filling in those gaps.
Is it academic or like sports related?
Sports related.
Okay. Yep.
And it's like a big chunk. It's like 2-3 weeks of the chunk.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's either going to be full day or half day. We didn't know. So we're sort of like not sure what was going to happen. And so now I have these additional holes that I got to fill for summer camp. And normally like last year I had summer camp already established at this point, and I've got like a couple holes to fill now. So that's in the back of my head being like, you got to take care of that or you're going to.
Yeah. You're going to screw yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it is a crappy feeling. I always love the different hearing of the different strategies that moms are using for summer where I feel like there's kind of two different schools of thought, depending on a few things like where your work schedule, right? Number one, number two, like your kids' ages. And number three, just like your mindset going into the summer and like your motivation level, where one school of thought is like, I'm picking one camp and my kid is going there all summer long. And it's kind of like do it all camp, right? That's where I am still. Yeah. Like, I'm like, you're going here. This is our routine for most of the summer, or, you know, for 6 weeks out of the summer. And we are not deviating from that routine. Versus I have other mom friends who are like, oh, my kid's going to do a week of art camp, a week of, you know, tennis camp, a week of this, so, you know, 2 weeks of that, then we go on vacation, then we'll have, you know, it's like, it's more like mishmashed, if you will. And they like it that way too, because they're like, I just feel like my kid's getting all these fun activities and doing lots of things, but it makes their lives a little crazier. Cause then you have to really prep for each camp and like maybe what they offer and don't. And I'm just not really mentally ready there to be there and handle that level of juggling. It sounds like you are dipping your toe in the water of that second mom type of experience.
Well, it's more so because there's sort of two, like on a sports perspective, there's reasons why like that's happening for us. So one is one sport we play year round. And so there's some good, really skill-based things for that sport. And then for my daughter, it's one camp. Like my daughter's just, my 4-year old, like I called them and said, hey, can you take her? Yes, absolutely. Okay, great. We're good to go with her.
Done.
So it's like our older children that have more of this mosh schedule, but also, so out here where I live in Southern California by the beach, there's something that I didn't have access to. And so there's also like this, like, wow, you get to do something that I wish I had been able to, but also I feel like it's a necessity. So it's a lifeguard program. And it's really just teaching you water safety on the ocean. And because we live close to the ocean, and because my father was in the Coast Guard, I am like very nervous about that. And so what we told our kids is like, you have to do this. This is just something that you have to do. We live by the ocean. And if you ever want to see the beach as a teenager without having your parents with you, you need to do this. This is just a requirement.
Brilliant.
So if we didn't have that, then it would probably be easier. But because like I sort of dug my heel in the sand, no pun intended there, and said, no, like you have to do this, it'd probably be a lot easier.
Yeah. Well, but that makes sense though. Like it's something that's going to be, you know, so valuable or invaluable moving forward. And it gives you peace of mind as a parent. Like that's not like, I don't know. It just seems like it's essential is my point.
Yeah. I mean, water is so insane. I just, because my father was in the profession he told me nothing as a kid. He was like very protective of the information he shared. Mm-hmm. But as I got out of high school and college and started to have a family of my own, I would ask him several questions, and I sort of have that much more respect for what he did. And I understand a lot more why he has so much respect for the ocean and water in general. And he's very like strict about he has a boat, and like, and I'd be like, come on, Dad, like this is, you know, whatever, when I was younger, and now I totally get it.
Yep.
And so now I can't get that out of my head. It's sort of like, it's not leaving my brain.
It's a respect for nature, I think.
Yeah.
Like you should never get too cocky when it comes to nature. Like nature will win.
Yeah.
I think it reminds me of last summer when I was at the beach with my kids, and they finally were getting like braver about the ocean. And I was a lifeguard all through high school, and I'm a very strong swimmer and still have a very strong respect for the ocean. Like being in a pool versus being in like open body water is completely different for so many reasons.
Yeah.
But I thought it was what a great description. My 5-year-old kind of got hit by a wave. And she said, wow, the ocean has big muscles.
Yeah.
And I love that mindset for a kid to have. Like, I want her to think the ocean has big muscles because that's important to respect.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I 100% agree. And it's funny because my middle doesn't really like sand. So I'm fully prepared for the fact that he's going to have, you know, comments and feelings, but he does like sea creatures. I don't know. I don't know. But yeah, so that's why our schedule is the way it is because we needed to secure that lifeguard program, and you have to test into it. And it's very competitive out here. And then in addition to that, the year round sport, the boys do. And so those two things had to happen. So it's literally filling in the gaps for those moments that it's not there. You know, we don't have those two things.
Out of curiosity, is the testing in just swimming, or is it more like lifeguard related? Like what are the requirements?
Yeah. So you have to, so there's two options. There's a city program and there's a state program. So the state program is for the state beaches, which butt up against our city beach. So they're both like really next to each other. The only difference in either program is the time to swim is faster for city, and state you get a little bit more wiggle room. Mm-hmm. But for my son's, my middle son's age, he had to swim 50 yards for city in a minute 15.
Okay.
And then...
And is this in the ocean or in a pool?
This is in a pool to get like... And then you had to do, for state, it was like, I think it was 145. So you had a little bit more time.
Okay.
And then for the... Then you also, for my older son, it was 1 minute and 50 seconds for 100 yards.
Okay.
And 2 minutes and 10 seconds for 100 yards in the state program.
Okay.
So it was like a 20-second difference.
Okay.
And then you had to tread water for 5 minutes.
Okay.
So that was the same no matter what. And then you had to swim under, I forget what it is. I think it's 300 or 500 yards underwater. You had to do that.
Like coming up for air, obviously.
So you start out of the water, you know.
Yeah.
You start with your head out of the water. And then you go down and then you come up on the other end. So.
Wait, you come 300 yards?
Yeah.
You have to hold your breath for that long?
Maybe I'm wrong on the time. Maybe I'm wrong on the yards. I'll have to look it up.
Well, either way. So you had to go a certain distance.
Yes.
Like, mm-hmm. Maybe I'm just like soft and I can't hold my breath that long maybe.
No, I mean, it's, I don't think you're wrong. I'm totally off here. I like that part. I will say that part was very easy for the kids to do because if
so maybe, you know, 30 yards.
Maybe. Yeah.
300 yards is 3 football fields.
Oh my gosh. No.
Yeah. No. Okay. That's how I think of it.
Yeah. No, that's not. Yeah. Okay. It's not that. I am completely wrong on it. But
but either way, the whole point is underwater swimming, treading water, and timed, like timed swim. Like
timed laps. Yeah. So you really do have to be.
You have to know
what a freestyle is. You have to be able to really do the stroke. Like you cannot get away, especially, I mean, getting that 150 for a 9-year-old for city is a pretty big accomplishment. I mean, mm-hmm. I think those that it's not easy because that time mm-hmm. is for anyone 9 to 12.
Okay. So he's on the youngest end of that spectrum. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So
it'll be so good though, once they have that, and it'll give you some peace of mind.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like my biggest thing is that I just want to have peace of mind. And honestly, I think that like who, you know, talk about your village, if I didn't have like this amazing parent village that is at the school we're at, I wouldn't, you know, have known to really like work on this with my kids. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad I am. Like, I definitely will be less nervous and it'll feel a lot better for me. So yeah, it's a lot better. It's 100 yards underwater.
That's still pretty far, but that's good. I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
So 100 yards, you said 300 yards is a full football field.
No,
so
300 yards is three football fields.
So 100 yards is a football field. I don't feel like they did that. I don't feel
like pool, like what a standard pool, like Olympic pool is what 50 meters, I believe. And so,
I mean, the pool that they were in was a 25 yard pool. So one at from start to the other end.
End to end would be 25 yards.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So did they just like go from end to end 4 times?
No. That's why I'm confused.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Also, why does your pool do yards? That seems so strange to me.
Really? That's how I grew up playing. I was on a swim team.
Really?
Yeah. We always did like 50. Yeah. We never did meters.
Yeah, and it is. I just looked it up. Standard Olympic size swimming pool is 50 meters. Really? Like, because yes. That's how you would do your competitions. Like,
no.
100 meter sprint, 50, like, no?
No, I would, yeah, 100 yards.
Really? What, I mean, what about in track?
Well, track different. Yeah, track would
okay,
be.
Okay, so track but you like, did meters, like 400 yeah. meter run, 800 meter run.
Yeah, but not for swim.
I know.
At least. Gosh. That could totally be different now that, you know, like, I don't want to, I mean, I guess I'm old. I don't know.
But you're like, not. That's so, because, like, I need someone to weigh in about this. Someone please DM me, because I feel like I'm losing my mind. But I swear, like, growing up, like, the events were in meters. And on the Olympics, it's in meters.
I mean, if... Maine could do things completely like not as the
yeah,
same
yeah,
as the country.
Sure.
You know, who knows? I competed.
It's just blowing my mind that it's like the yards.
Yeah, I competed until I was in eighth grade. So hope everyone's enjoying this chat about swim right now.
Oh gosh, I can't. Oh God. Anyway, so. To all of that, the swimming point, my sister-in-law and brother-in-law just had a baby, and they were talking about how they, so my sister-in-law is from Long Island and lives literally like her parents' house is a block from the beach. Yeah. So same kind of mindset for them here, even on the East Coast for summertime. Obviously their baby is like days old,
yeah.
But they're going to enroll her in like an infant drowning course because they also have a pool at their house. And so in case like she falls in or, you know, like she'll know how to like roll. It blows my mind that babies can learn to do that. And it's such a wonderful like safety, like a safeguard. If you know that you're going to be around water a lot with children.
Yeah.
That's definitely like a thing. You know how parents have like their thing like that. I would, that's on my list. Like water safety is like really on my list for the kids. And like drowning is a true fear and like all of that.
It's interesting because for me personally, I, you know, started swim team at whatever age I was. So it was sort of baked in the cake, you know, for my mom, because I did that early on, you know, as a kid. But with our kiddos, I started doing water safety. Like we started swim lessons when they were infants and started, and then like moved them into like a program that progressed them faster. And then I want to say it was during COVID. There's just so many pools out here. And during COVID, I enrolled them in like this thing, this class. It's 10 days, so 2 weeks. And it's 10, I think it's 10 minutes or 15 minutes a day. It's hosted at someone's house. The swim instructor comes in and he basically just teaches like water safety, like how to get to the side of the pool, how to float on your back, get to the side of the pool, and just like works on that. And by the end of those 10, and you're not allowed to go in the water outside of those days. So he doesn't want bad habits to happen or anything like that. And at the end of that, you should have a child that is able to swim on their own without floaties. Cause he basically says, you know, those floaties are dangerous because they basically give a sense of security. And then when they don't exist, then they try to float like that. And obviously that's very dangerous. So anyway, it was really interesting because my middle became water safe, like right after that. It was crazy. It just clicked for him and he was water safe. I was watching him, but it feels like not that long in the pool, but whatever the instinct is that he's teaching them, it really did work. And I, you know, obviously I was still nervous and like kind of in this like weird limbo, like, do I give him a life jacket? Do I not? And so anyway, it was just like, and so we started doing that like early on because of that reason.
Yeah. That's smart.
It's expensive though. I will say that.
But. I bet. Oh, to your point with the floaties, like something I've always done just, you know, with my like lifeguard background, healthcare, you know, all of that stuff and knowing and reading about the, that like false sense of security that the kids get. Like I still use the puddle jumpers with like, so my youngest now is 3 and a half. She'll be 4 in July and she still needs them, but she's going to be in a pretty, what's the word? Not extensive, but a pretty intense program this summer for lessons.
Oh, really?
And I fully anticipate that she'll be, to your terms, like water safe by, you know, like halfway through.
Yeah.
So hopefully by like mid-July, she'll be good. But what I've always done with all my kids when they're in the floaty stage is I will bring them into the water or let them play on the steps with me, you know, next to them or in the water without the floaties. And I intentionally will let them for like a couple seconds sink, like so that they don't get confident. So
yeah.
I'm like, oh, you want to see what it's like without your floaties? Like, boom, like you're going under. And then I pick them up and I say like, oh, we went under. That was so fun. This is why we have to wear our floaties, you know?
Yeah.
So that they associate not sinking with the floaty.
Yeah.
So to the point where now my 3-year-old was like, she can say all of that. She's just like, I need to wear my swimmies because if I don't, I will sink.
Yeah.
So she'll ask me to put them on.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, Cece, because of her brothers, absolutely wanted nothing to do with floaties, like any sort of life jacket, like any of that stuff. And I think they do recommend, and this is just us chatting, so like, please don't take our advice for anything. We are not professionals in this at all. So this is us just talking about our own experiences, but. Mm-hmm. You know, from sort of like the reading that I had done is that life jackets are really like the best to give you that example of like, oh, you've got to like float on your back if you want, like, you know, that.
Yeah, I could piece. See that. And you have to use forward.
And you have to use your arms.
Uh-huh.
So, but anyway, so Cece like really wanted nothing to do with them anymore. And she was giving me a heart attack like all the time. I mean, I just hated going to anything swim related.
Yeah.
Oh, and I will say like to what you're doing this summer, we have been doing a very aggressive swim instruction of learning like formal strokes. Mm-hmm. Just for reference for everyone, she's 4 and I'm sort of like, mm-hmm. She's doing that like that's
yeah
but they have it at the pool club that we go to, and so
my kids same thing, like they're in the same program that my 3-year-old will be in, but obviously like in the next levels up.
And so she's like, we were at like a staycation during spring break and I looked over at my husband and I go, look at Cece, she's doing legit, you know, freestyle strokes across the pool. And I just was sort of like wowed by that. So you never know until you kind of, you know, try things, but luckily she's not afraid of the water. I know that gives a lot of anxiety for parents to be starting swim lessons or going back to swim lessons after that. So we don't have that issue. She's actually way too comfortable with the water is the issue. And so now this is the first, like in the last like 2 months is the first time I've felt comfortable with her too. So,
You know, I get that.
It's hard.
I'd love your opinion on something that I heard years ago. And then I never checked for the updates. I've now just kind of like taken it to heart. Like that's what I do. Is that at the beach, you should never wear like swimmies or life vest to like as a kid to go into the water. A lifeguard told me that once, like a beach lifeguard, and the reason is because if there's like an undertow, like or an undercurrent, it will pull you out. And it's easier to be pulled out if you're in a life jacket. And if a kid needs to be in a life jacket, they shouldn't be in the water unsupervised anyway, like in the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
So it really just prevents it. It creates more risk putting them in the jacket than like actually just watching them. And if they want to go in the water, like you're in the water with them.
Yeah.
But I don't know. So I just have always like held true to that. Like no swimmies at the ocean,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know. Like you're by the ocean. Like, is that like a thing by you guys?
So I have, like, when I'm at the ocean by myself, I have three littles. I had life jackets, not like mm-hmm. the floaties. And we had established rules on how far and how, like, how far you could be from mom and mm-hmm. how far you could be, like, width ways from me. So, like, how yeah. far you could go out into the ocean, how far you could go, like, either way.
I decided. Yep.
And then, so I didn't know that. So I don't know. I could be like completely not making a great choice. That's the thing.
No, I mean, I honestly don't know.
And
to your point, if you're by yourself, I'd rather like them be floating.
Yeah. Like, well, because here's the thing that I think is sometimes, so out here, and if there is a riptide, they're really good about being like, okay, you can't go in the water, you know, yeah. or they'll tell you like there's a strong riptide. And we suggest, you know, only ankle width into the water or whatever it is. So for me, that's more my concern is like that I might be using the wrong terminology, but the where you get like swept up in a wave and then you end up on the ground or like yeah. in the bottom mm-hmm. undertow or ripped. I don't
yeah, know. Yeah. The undertow.
So
that's like what will pull you.
Yeah, has pulled me down and then pushed me right onto the shore is what it's done. And it's really, it happened to me at Jersey Shore a couple times and as a kid, and I fully remember that. And mm-hmm. I was water safe, but like, it still freaked me out. And so yeah. because of that reason of being pulled underneath, I guess like I thought that it was a good choice to have the life vest, but I don't know.
So it depends where in the current you are.
Yeah.
Meaning how far out you are when it picks you up. So you were at the point of the current where it pushed you to shore.
Right.
But if it's, that's not the whole system. So basically that system can also pull you out. So kind of the rule of thumb, and again, everyone please look this up.
Yeah, no. We are not. Like, yeah, this is just
my understanding from yeah. what I have read, and please check for yourself, is if you are stuck in one or getting pulled by one, don't try to fight against it because you end up tiring yourself. Because what happens is I've watched a video on it. It will pull you out, but then it kind of circles back like around and we'll start bringing you back to shore, like maybe 50 yards, like down, depending. Not everyone is the same, but like that's kind of like how the system tends to work. So you might have been on the part of the system that was pushing you like towards the ocean, like towards the sand instead of out. So,
yeah.
So that was my concern. Like if a kid gets pulled in with a life vest, it's going to pull them out and yeah. then a lifeguard has to like go out to get them.
Yeah.
Because you can't go get them because that's dangerous.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, clearly I need to go test into the lifeguard program.
We all need a refresher. I think it's good to talk about these things and like, because it's been a long time since I've talked about it too. And I'm like, this is how I remember it, but maybe things have changed. So this is our, you know, reminder
homework for ourselves.
Yeah. Well, for ourselves and to everyone listening, like,
yeah,
we should look at this as summer, you know, is coming, is upon us.
Yeah. It's finally. Super. No, it's really important. And I mean, pools are like a whole nother level of yes. safety that needs to be 100% taken into consideration. which I know parents are really, there's so much on this that comes out right before summer starts. So you won't have a problem finding articles about any of it. But luckily, my father just happens to be in town. So he mm-hmm. will be here on Friday. And so I will ask him all these yeah. questions. So he will be a great person to talk through all this with. And no, it's good to, like, it's important to talk about, because when you talk about it, you're like, wait, do I know? Just kind of do what we just did, right? Yeah. Like, we're trying to figure it out.
Also, I was dying to know. So if you get caught in a rip current, mm-hmm. here we go. Remain calm. You will not be pulled under the surface of the water. Okay, so I think that's an undertow that we're talking
about.
And
then it's an undertow.
Yeah. So this is a rip current, okay? Only swim parallel to the shore to escape the current.
Oh, I do remember that.
Out of the current, then only swim towards the beach.
I do remember this. Swim sideways.
Yeah. And then the other option, sort of like what I was saying, is just float. And you'll eventually reach the end of the current. Like it'll like cycle you out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So that is the official, yeah, what to do.
What does it say about undertow?
I'm looking it up right now. Oh my God. I don't know.
While you're looking it up, this is what parents are trying to find time for in the crux of their day, to be fully educated and aware of all these different things. Obviously, this is super important. Obviously, we need to make sure we know, like, what's the safest way to navigate the beach, the pool with our kids, and what is going to be something that we can make happen. And it can feel like overwhelming just from like what I was talking about earlier. It's just, how do I have time to do all of these things? So if this is just like a nice reminder, set a reminder for yourself. Like if you're at a sporting event with your kids, or you're going to a practice, your kiddos who are at some activity, maybe that's a time to look it up for a hot minute and find it. And then when the kids go to bed, check it out. Have that discussion, make a plan with your, you know, your partner or whomever. But I think like what happens is we're going so, so fast that we don't have time to like think like, oh, wait, I should probably know this. And only because you and I brought up, like, you asked me more questions about junior guards. Am I even like thinking through like even further than what I you know, as an adult, what I should know?
Yeah, no, this is, I'm glad we kind of stumbled into this conversation. So first and foremost, there's rip current, undertow, and rip tide, and they are all different.
Okay,
we should not interchange them. Like, we need to honor that they're all different things.
Okay.
So that's number one. Number two is, we just reviewed the rip current. So it's typically strong offshore flows and often occur when breaking waves push water up the beach face. So the next thing I really want to get to the undertow, because this is what applies to us that we were talking about. So basically, the broken wave pushes water up the beach and gravity pulls the water back down the beach as a backwash. When big waves break on the beach, a large uprush and backwash of water happens. So beachgoers feel like they are being sucked underwater when the wave breaks over their head. That's an undertow. So that's like when you're standing there and you feel like you're being pulled under. That's an undertow that's directly related to the wave breaking.
That's undertow, what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Yes, that's what you described.
Yeah.
Undertow is typically only dangerous for small children who can't walk up the beach face against a strong backwash flow. So you know, as you're trying to like get out of the water and the water, like the wave broke and then it's coming towards you, that's an undertow. And then a riptide is a powerful current caused by the tide pulling water through an inlet along a barrier beach, When there is a falling or ebbing tide, this happens, usually one stabilized by jetties. So if you have jetties on your beach, you might have that happen. So they
Which we do.
Yes.
In Newport Beach, there's a bunch of jetties.
Okay. So good to know there. These powerful reversing currents are also named tidal jets by coastal engineers. So you can talk to your dad about that. And they carry large quantities of sand that form banks in the ocean opposite to the inlet channel. So you can all, and this was from surfertoday.com. Okay. It was literally the first thing when I typed in undertow versus riptide. So yeah, the fact from just general Google and weather.com, it says, while neither rip currents or undertow will pull a person underwater, undertow is a term used to describe the current beneath the surface when the waves are breaking, which we reviewed. So anyway, yeah, good to know the difference between all of these.
Yeah. No, so. That's good to know. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yep. I think there's, I love how we ended up throwing in an article anyway.
Yeah. We can't help ourselves.
But I will say, like, do your research on this. This is a good reminder. We're having this conversation. There's some reason why we needed this sort of mm-hmm. chaos. There's some reason.
There is. You're right.
I think that's really beneficial to kind of just put it out there, go through thinking through water safety and what you know, what you don't know, and maybe fill in those gaps, you know, with the time that we have. I mean, I will say, like, I will make time for this to yeah. make sure I understand it much better. So I'll figure that out.
And yeah, it's a good refresher. I think we take for granted that, like, oh yeah, we know this, it'll be fine. And until, you know, it is. It's good to know how to get yourself out of these situations.
And, you know, what you should do with your kiddos. So
yes. Yes.
Yeah.
So. Oh, well, that really took a turn. I love that. This was a fun conversation.
I hope everyone else enjoyed the turn. I don't know.
We really went there. We like really dove right in, like this wasn't being recorded. This is like how we would normally have a conversation. It really is.
Yeah. So I don't know how often we'll be doing that, but
yeah. It was a fun change.
Because who knows where we'll end up. But yeah,
it's true.
Anyway, as we end, I was thinking maybe we could share something that's happening in our worlds right now mm-hmm. related to work, since we talked a lot of personal. So I thought maybe Ashley, you could share, because that was something also we talked about.
That is, it is. Yeah. I before we started recording, I was telling you that I was so excited. I wrote an article and published it on LinkedIn 2 months ago called The Motherhood Tack. So number one, please go check it out. You will see my very heavily researched brain took some concepts and terms that we all know so well and, you know, just made sense of them all as it applies to working women or women with careers, if you will, and how ironically and how it collides with mm-hmm. being a mom. And to add to that, you know, I got some decent traction, but the patience in writing these things and just like the timing of everything really blows my mind, because this past week, a great verdict came out for women at Goldman Sachs who were awarded amongst all of them $215 million for gender discrimination. So if you didn't hear about that, please Google Goldman Sachs, you know, gender discrimination lawsuit. And it's just so great to see this happening. And I was really just so proud of these women for speaking out, which I think is the most important thing. And I commented about it on LinkedIn and, you know, quoted my own article about gender wage gaps. And it was picked up by LinkedIn news editors and posted with the original Reuters article that was published talking about Goldman. And since then, this post that I did has really just gained so much traction in LinkedIn and just on a social media, you know, platform that I don't typically use as frequently as I would, let's say, you know, Instagram or Facebook. So it really just was so validating hearing these words coming from, you know, essentially colleagues and people in this field that maybe hadn't read my article or hadn't thought of things that way. And it just feels like it was just such a win, like such a professional win to know that people, you know, see me. That, you know, is really the bottom line. It's like, see me, hear my words and find them relevant and applicable to what's happening right now in the world. So yeah, so I've just been like on my little cloud nine, like, oh my gosh, I'm doing it. So yeah, so that was my big, that was my win, my professional win of the week. I'm really excited for all the traction that that article and those quotes are getting on LinkedIn. So that's mine. How about you? Tell me about your professional wins.
So,
or what's going on professionally.
Yeah. So what I will say though, is Ashley's being super humble about it. It is such a well-written piece and it really does sort of lay out so many components that are broken and looks at it from a different lens. So we're going to do a whole podcast on it, but it really is just, it's very good. And one of the things that I will say when you're sort of on this, I want to say adventure, but journey is another word that everyone uses. Sometimes it can get super discouraging because you're like hoping someone reads something or someone says yes, or wants to work with you. And then the patience to be able to give it time has so much value. And so, you know, looking at what you put together and when you put it together. So it was like 2 months ago and 2 days ago, it's like picked up like that. And so I think it's a lesson for us to know that some things do take time to marinate sometimes. And it's okay for that to be. And I struggle with that personally and get discouraged in many different ways and have a really hard time staying positive when it feels like how long is this going to be before it hits a yes, or like, if you know, get that recognition or whatever. But I'm so excited for you. So
thank you.
You're welcome. For me, it's honestly just a lot of things kind of colliding at once for work, of things that need to be accomplished in a very short period of time. So you know, the benefit season is coming around the corner. And so budgets are being established for next year. And it just feels like it's all sort of colliding at the same time. And in order to kind of work with Learning Motherhood and build out new opportunities, there's like almost a seasonality to it. And so just like
your tax season.
Yeah, exactly. There's like a tax season to this work. So it's just really busy. And I have like a really amazing opportunity that I've been working on for 18 months that's coming through. And it just feels like a full circle moment for that opportunity. So I'm excited and nervous and grateful and honored and all the things. So that's coming up soon. So I'm super excited, as I said, another time.
No, oh, I love that.
Yeah. So that's what's going on with me. And you learned a lot about what's going on in my personal life and how they're all colliding. So I think I've answered Motherhood and Collide this week.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say so. So anyway, I really hope that everyone listening found value in what we had to say today, learned something about, you know, ocean tie with us.
I know.
And, you know, hopefully this was a motivator that we all, you know, brush up on our water safety as summer approaches.
Yeah, exactly. That's the only advice we'll give. The other stuff that we talked about is our personal experience.
Yes. And I even did Google, should you wear life jackets at the beach? And Google says that any kid that can't swim around water should be in a life jacket. So, you know, there you go.
Yeah. So there you go. Thank you for rounding that out for us, Ashley.
Of course. I know, I wouldn't want, like, that would be terrible if.
Yeah.
So anyway, yes. Do what the lifeguards at your beach say. How about that?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you for today. If you stuck with us until the end, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you all very soon. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening. We hope you find support in our words. For more, come find us on Instagram at Motherhood Career Collide or on our websites, learningmotherhood.co and workingmomnotes.com.
We would be so grateful if you could leave us a review and share this episode with a friend that needs to hear this discussion. We are all in this together. And as a reminder, you are not alone. You are doing your best and you are enough.